Don't you remember yesterday I was saying to you that tomorrow we might go to Future World?
While we do our final systems check, please make sure your seat belts are buckled and tray tables are in their upright and locked positions.
It's time to celebrate! Come on, everyone!
W.
My friends, and welcome to the WDW Radio Show, your Walt Disney World Information Station. I am your host, Lou Mangiello, and this is show number 387 for the week of December 7th, 2014. I'm here to help you have the best possible Disney vacation experience and bring you a little bit of Disney magic wherever you are with this podcast, videos, blogs, live events, my Walt Disney World trivia books, money-saving guide, and lots more. Whether you are a first-time visitor or have been to the park hundreds of times, if you're planning a vacation or just love the history, details, secrets, and stories, there's something here for you. And if you're a new listener, go back, check out some or all the past episodes for interviews, top tens, reviews, and more. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes and check out wdwradio.com. So even though you may have visited Epcot in Walt Disney World more times than you can count and think that you have seen and done it all, chances are, there are a few experiences, opportunities, and things to see, do, and yes, eat that you may have missed. So, this week, I recorded live from Epcot to bring you the top 10 things you must do at Epcot, but may have never done before. I then have the answer to our last Walt Disney World trivia question of the week, pose a new challenge for your chance to win a Disney prize package. Then stay tuned to the end of the show. I'll have some updates and announcements, including the time and location for December's Meet of the Month in Walt Disney World. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode of the WDW Radio Show. Know that Epcot Center, as we see it today, looks nothing like what Walt Disney envisioned as he daydreamed about his most exciting, most important part of his Florida project. And over the years, it's changed, grown, and even evolved to meet guest needs and interests. Far from a working city, it's instead a place of entertainment with a little bit of education sprinkled on top. But it's also like each of the other Disney parks, not just in Walt Disney World, but around the world. It is a truly wondrous place that, while visited over and over again by some people, isn't necessarily completely explored and enjoyed by everyone. So today, as we sit in Epcot Center, we're going to look at our top 10 things you must do at Epcot, but may never have in the past. And when you think of top 10s, you, of course, think that 10 doesn't really mean 10, that I'll likely somehow work food into the equation no matter what the topic is, and that Tim Foster from Celebrations Magazine will likely join me and undoubtedly ask you to go with him here, people. So, Tim, I want to welcome you home. This, as you may recognize, is Epcot Center. The time is now on an afternoon much... Sorry.
Thank you. This is Epcot.
This is Epcot.
This is really cool looking.
First time here?
I think I was here when I was little, like 1957.
And, you know, this is really the first time in... like ages, I think, that we've done a top 10, not only in person as opposed to over the Skype, but in Walt Disney World.
It could be. And I was going to say this is the first time we've done one totally unscripted, but that's a flat out lie.
We do them all completely unscripted, as evidenced by every top 10 that we've done in the past. And this one is completely unscripted. We just sort of threw the idea out. And it really is about, you know, we talk about this all the time, the overlooked experiences and that people should put down their maps and wander the park. And when we talked about getting together today to share your frozen mocha, latte, frappuccino from Starbucks. And by the way, your cup really does say Captain Handsome. You should know better to let me order for you.
It does. And I'm kidding. It's Captain Handsome.
Captain Handsome.
And when they... Yeah.
So we wanted to come and get together at Epcot. And we thought this was maybe another one of those great places. Because we've talked about places like an Animal Kingdom, those little nooks and crannies that you can find. But here, I think when people come to Epcot, it's about sort of hitting the big things, right? You know to hit Soarin', you know to get to Test Track, to get your fast pass for Mission Space, and to wander your way around the countries. But I want to talk about some of those things that maybe guests need to do but haven't necessarily done before.
Okay. Now, in my defense, you just sprung this on me, so...
Yesterday, you had at least 24 hours to think about this.
Well, you had a couple other ideas, and I was heading more towards those, which we will not get into. But, meaning I don't have one ready to go out of the gate. So
Tim is feverishly looking. As we're sitting here, obviously you can hear the holiday music in the background. We're sitting in the shadow of the Interventions Plaza fountain. It's a beautiful evening as the sun is just starting to set, and you literally have nothing.
I'm looking at the trampolines up over the head, this ball thing that's off in the distance. Yeah,
it's the Epcot Daredevil Circus of Spectacular is coming back.
I asked you, like, when they added that fountain. That's pretty cool. So, but go ahead if you've got one.
Celebrations Magazine, ladies and gentlemen.
We know it all.
All right, so I really don't have anything in any particular order. I'm going to kind of look around as well, too. So, you know what? I'm going to go.
I have one idea.
Oh, you do? All right, go ahead.
I did actually have one. And this is a cheat. This is a go with me.
You're starting off with go with me.
I'm starting off with go with me. As we were wandering around. What are you doing? As we were wandering around, finding our white chocolate mocha and eating food, I think my first thing I would tell people coming to Epcot to answer that's something you've never done before is re-explore the whole thing. Because I'm walking through here, and so much has changed very recently.
Like what? What is the thing that you noticed that has changed for you since last time you were here?
Well, like in World Showcase in particular, like there's no off-kilter, there's no Moroccan. The Stave Church, which we just discovered, is totally different inside. New restaurants, there's so much that's changed this particular in World Showcase. I think if you think you know it, you don't know it. So that's be the first thing I tell you is just explore it again. So I haven't gotten through Future World yet. I don't know what.
So I'm going to ask you this because obviously with a lot of these changes, and look, you're too soon, striking potentially a nerve with some people because the removal of World Showcase players and, you know, off-kilter and Maelstrom to be updated, replaced, whatever it may be. Do you like the fact that it's ever-changing and that some of those things that have been fixtures for literally decades here are no longer here?
We talk about this a lot. It's a mixed bag.
Diplomacy is your friend here, just so you know.
No, I actually, with Maelstrom, I think that I got a lot of questions and comments about how do I feel about it. And it's the same. I'm sad to see it go. It was one of the things I always liked. I give the benefit of the doubt and look forward to see what comes next, and I'll probably, and who knows, I might like it much better. I still may prefer the old version, but we can say that about a lot of things, whether it's imagination or the people mover spiel, that kind of thing. So sometimes change is tough, but
that is like such a Lou Mangiello lawyerly non-answer.
But I still miss the Beatles in the United Kingdom.
The original Beatles or the
original? The original. They look like them. But who knows?
I'll be curious after you spent some time in Epcot and you do see some of the new shows. I would love to hear your thoughts again as opposed to, you know, sort of going in blind, like what you think.
Well, it's funny. I was probably one of the very few people, and everyone's going to scream when I say this, I never really watched Off Kilter or stopped there. So
I don't think that you're alone. I don't think you're alone.
Nothing against them. I just never really watched them. So curious to see the new show. I understand you can hear the buzzing of saws all throughout World Showcase. But It's new. I guess the other thing that I hear comments on a lot, and being at the Magic Kingdom last night, I know we're in the different park now, but all of the Frozen stuff that's coming to the parks and what that means. And throughout World Showcase, there's a lot of it. Norway Pavilion, we were just talking about. We know about Maelstrom. I really wasn't aware of this, Dave Church, till recently. And I feel like I just educated you on it, that's been updated as well to reflect.
You weren't aware that there was actually a Stave Church there, or that it had been updated it's been inspired by Frozen now.
Yes, but actually that would have been, well, I guess I'm kind of cheating, because that would have been one of my things to go see that you might not be aware of, was a Stave Church, but and then still go see it, but it's different. And again, if you've seen it before, go see it again, because you may not know, but it is different now. So,
and I wonder that when it was changed and that small banner was hung over the archway saying that it was inspired by Frozen, I wonder how many more guests have gone into the church that might not have gone in previously, because that is sort of, you know, an easy, you know, attractor to kids and families.
Yeah, I think it's one of those places people never went because they didn't realize there was a building you could go into. So I'm curious. I say when we're done, we stand there and take our little clickers out and count how many people go in.
But. Well, while you do that, I'm going to start with my first one over on the opposite side of Future World, over at the Seas with Nemo. And for what? Don't make that face. No,
the one I maybe had going. This is probably,
well, you, we can do this together, because, you know, for me, again, and I understand why it is the Seas with Nemo and Friends now as opposed to just the Seas. It will always be Sea Base Alpha for me. And I think that what people miss in there is yes, there's Turtle Talk with Crush, which I think is fascinating. And there's the Seas ride. And of course, I do miss the Sea Cabs. But that is one of the pavilions that you really do need to take your time and walk up and down the stairs and go explore. There's like 4,000 different sea creatures in there. I think the tank is still 5.7 million gallons of water. There's like 60 or 70 different species of marine life there. There's different aquatic tours you can take. I think two you need to be scuba certified for, one that you don't. The Dive Quest, I would love to be certified just so I can go into the tank. But I think, you know, the Seas with Nemo and Friends has an Animal Kingdom-like quality to it, in that there is a lot of natural beauty there, and I think there is that great educational opportunity, which really was sort of the keystone of Epcot Center when it opened.
You absolutely stole the only second one I possibly had.
Good night,
in my
everybody.
Head.
Tim's done.
No, I totally agree. I think we've talked about this before. Like I do love the Nemo with. What is it called?
You love it so much.
No, I love the Nemo ride itself. I do adore that. But I do get the sense too, a lot of people do hit the ride, maybe Turtle Talk, get a souvenir, and then they're out. And forget, there's a whole aquarium back there. And I do everybody that comes down to it, I do tell them when you get done the ride, go up the escalator and look at the aquarium. And there's real fish there. There were real fish before they made the animated fish. And, yeah, I agree. And and the manatees. You know, there's so much there to see besides the ride. I agree. It's like when you're done the little attraction, explore the rest of the pavilion. So well done, sir. And I'm calling that my second one.
And I think, too, like Animal Kingdom, the cast members in the Seas Pavilion, especially by the manatees and by the aquariums themselves, really are sort of fonts of knowledge. I mean, they sort of are experts on the sea life and the marine life that's there. So you should take advantage of that and bring your kids over and encourage your kids to talk to them as well.
I agree.
All right.
Well, actually, I came up with another one there.
You just made this one up.
This is cheating. Like I cheated with the first one. This is a holiday one.
That's okay.
Because it's the holidays. I think one of the, and we might, I don't know if we talked about this, one of the best out-of-the-park experiences you can have at Walt Disney World during the holidays is resort hopping, to go to check out the decorations at the resorts. And the go-to resorts are, of course, the Magic Kingdom resorts, being on the monorail loop. But I think just as rewarding and just as magical is if you would go on a tour of the Epcot resorts, which is an easy walk out of International Gateway. And as you tour the Yacht Club, Beach Club, the Boardwalk, and even the Swan and Dolphin, you might not find trees as tall and grandiose as the Grand Floridian and the Wilderness Lodge, but each of the resorts has their own charming displays in their own right and very cool to see. And you'll see all kinds of neat little things like the nautical trees at the Yacht and Beach Club, miniature villages, chocolate carousels. In the Swan / Dolphin, there's a life-size Santa Claus chocolate display, a beautiful white poinsettia tree with a choo-choo train going around the bottom with a little Mickey Mouse. But each resort there has its own character and really cool look. And I think when you talk about holiday resort hopping, those don't jump immediately to mind. You head to the monorail. But I'd highly recommend adding those to your holiday must-see list as well.
I dig it, and that was actually on my list as well, was come during the holidays. Well, it was come during the holidays, but I wasn't sort of thinking about that very easy walk outside the International Gateway. And to piggyback on your Swan and Dolphin, you know that that's actually Santa's favorite resort. So starting like in mid-November, Santa and Mrs. Claus, they're hanging out. That's a great, again, and I say this all the time, whether it's during Food and Wine or other special events, Swan and Dolphin is an overlooked treasure that I think so many people don't think about. But during the holidays, they have Christmas carolers, Santa and Mrs. Claus come out to take pictures. They have all kinds of activities. If you're staying there, a little elf can tuck your child in and read them stories at night, and there's cookies and gingerbread and crafts. And did I mention that Blue Zoo just happens to be there as well? That's Santa's favorite restaurant is Todd English's Blue Zoo.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he loves the oysters. Yeah, it's the unabridged version of the Christmas carol.
So I should leave oysters out next to the cookies.
But I like coming, you know, I think when people think about Christmas or holidays at Walt Disney World, they think Magic Kingdom, they think castle lighting, they think Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, they might even think Osborne Family Spectacle Dancing Lights, but I think farther down, and a far down third on their list, are the holiday storytellers at Epcot, which I absolutely love. It's anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes or so, depending, but every nation has a storyteller authentic to that country that comes out and tells their version of Christmas. So in Germany, there's Helga going to talk to you about the Nutcracker. I love La Befana in Italy, who talks about the first Christmas 2,000 years ago. In the American Adventure, now you can meet, you get like a threefer. You get Santa and Mrs. Claus. They jump over from the Swan and Dolphin. You can learn about Kwanzaa and Hanukkah. And the Voices of Liberty is there in their little Dickensian costumes, which I love. The Daruma is in Japan. There's a new storyteller in Morocco. There's also a new storyteller in China. I think the Chinese Lion Dance I saw today. Mm-hmm. Fiesta de Navidad over in Mexico. Get yourself a little taco while you're there as well. We actually just passed in Norway.
Yes.
Sigrid is there, who's talking about the little Christmas gnome Juliansen, or Olaf.
Gulyul.
I don't know what that means.
That's my very horrible holiday wishes in Norwegian, which I still can't pronounce right.
But actually, as Arendelle.
She was trying to coach the audience into how to say that properly, and I was still getting it wrong.
And you failed miserably. But yeah, so I do like the, and I like bringing my kids and when I'm with other families, other kids too, because I think it's a great learning, and I talk about this all the time, but I think it is a great learning opportunity for them to understand that not everyone in the world celebrates Christmas maybe the way I do. I don't know how you do,
yeah,
Tim,
no.
But yeah, I don't know how you celebrate, but it's a great way for them to learn. And I find that my kids, when they go there, are curious and ask a lot of questions, right? And they want to learn based on what they see.
That's cool. And actually, our kids columnist in Celebrations, Meredith, they actually had a family tradition, which I thought was cool. Never did myself, but they would go around to all the World Showcase storytellers when they weren't there, but take a picture of little child Meredith, in this case, at each of the in the countries, and keep that as a memento. And if you do that year after year, how cool is that? But do you have a favorite holiday storyteller, Lou? Besides Santa, can't go Santa Claus.
I think maybe because I'm Italian, I like La Befana. You know, I didn't grow up in a household where everybody spoke Italian, but we tried to carry on like Italian traditions that my grandparents had. So it's interesting to sort of, you know, go back to the motherland, as it were, and hear about how it's... But I really do like the Japanese and the Chinese. Mm-hmm. Like, I love the cultures. And, you know, like, the Daruma doll is so different, so foreign from our concept of Christmas. And it's really interesting to see how it's celebrated there.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to see, in particular those countries that don't really celebrate Christmas per se. I think on the opposite end of the spectrum, it's cool to see... like the United Kingdom and France, whose Santa Clauses are very similar to what we celebrate, but with a little subtle little twist. And
the fact that the sake bar is in the back of the Mitsukoshi department store has nothing to do with it, right?
And then, and I don't know what Canada is doing this year. I know they had the Santa Claus. I believe they're doing the holiday Voyagers again this year. Have you seen?
Look at you, a little musical tour of the Great White North.
A musical tour, but I still have a picture of Canada Santa Claus in his green plaid lumberjack shirt, which is good. So it's cool. You can see traditions that are very similar to our own, but then see traditions that have nothing to do with our own and learn a little bit along the way.
All right, so what is your next must-do thing in Epcot Center that you probably have never done before?
That was my next one. Care to talk for a while I think.
All right, so I'm going to sort of... You know what? Where we are, I actually think, is a great place to start. You know, this...
Where are we, Liv?
We're in Future World. We're at the Electric Umbrella.
Okay.
What we're really sort of, you know, on the analogous to the Main Street USA's hub, right? This was sort of... Originally, what CommuniCore was supposed to be was the Main Street USA of Epcot Center. And I think Interventions, East and West, is often overlooked. Mm. Now, that being said, it is very much a shell of what it was when it was CommuniCore. And actually, I was here a few weeks ago, and a lot of the other attractions that used to be in there are now gone. However, that being said, I have not one, Timmy Foster, not two, but three... Count them, three things you need to do in Interventions.
The piggy bank.
No.
Oh.
Which I think is gone.
Dang.
So, well, the piggy bank may still be here. I'm going to tell you that, believe it or not, not all thrill rides and attractions have a place on the map outside in the park proper. And in fact, I think one of, if not the most thrilling attraction in Epcot is inside Interventions East. And I think you need to go and design your own coaster and ride Some of All Thrills. It is not the only place in Walt Disney World where you can design and ride your own coaster. Where the other one being?
Cyber Mountain.
I'll give you a half a point for that one. Cyberspace Mountain?
Cyberspace
hosted
Mountain.
Hosted by?
Yeah.
As
the hostess.
Yes.
Disney Quest.
No. Oh, Twinkies. No.
Twinkies.
Oh, poor Twinkies. No, Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Oh, host, I thought you meant sponsored by.
No.
You need to get...
And where else can you find Bill Nye the Science Guy?
You can find him at the Universe of Energy, Ellen's Energy Adventure Pavilion.
There you go. So, but here, you know, that Cyberspace Mountain's been... I'm shocked. The one in downtown Disney, in Disney Quest, is a relatively older technology, where here, you design your attraction with the hills and the jumps and the spins and the upside down. And look, when you go upside down here, you literally go upside down because they use a 4D robotic simulator. You can see that giant KUKA arm. You're sweating. You are profusely sweating. There's no chicken exit here, man. You've got... Come on.
There's a chicken.
Let's go do it together right now and I'll videotape it.
Is there like a 0 to 10 you can put in for speed?
Yes, and you can choose everything.
Can I go 0 across the board?
You know, I'll make a deal with you.
Yeah.
If you and I go and let me design the coaster and we ride together, what?
No, well, how about I design the coaster, you ride it, and then we'll see what happens.
If you design the coaster, it would be like the Swan Boat.
No, I design it to test your... Manhood, whatever. I mean, you talk a big talk here about the roller coasters. Let's put it to the test.
I'm in, baby.
Yeah.
I'm down like
yeah.
Chinatown.
Yeah.
But I want no part of you putting me in a roller coaster.
See, it's no fun there. But I wonder how many people, honestly, walk by Interventions as they're running to Soarin' or Mission Space or wherever else it may be and don't realize that attraction is what it is and exists inside interventions.
Well, yeah, and just interventions in general, like you said, ever-changing. I just mentioned something that might not be there right now, but I do like to go in every time I'm here, see what's new. I'm sitting here not knowing at all what's in there right now, so I'm
Yeah, I mean, the last time I was here, you know, there was, like, video game stations. They took out the Segway thing. They took out the Velcro Labs. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that's gone because it is ever-changing. I actually wonder, because there, I mean, the Where's the Fire thing is actually cool, and I think it's important that kids do it.
I can see it from here.
Right, you can see the little fire engine from there. I'll let you ride the fire engine later. But it makes me wonder, when it starts to look a little empty the way it does, if it means that there's plans for something else coming. If they're leaving some of those areas vacant because something else might be coming in. Oh, I actually just thought of a fourth thing, but go ahead.
Well, why? Don't keep me on the edge of my seat here.
No, I want to see if you have anything next.
No, I have... how about the cool inventor's courtyard behind the Interventions building? Ladies and gentlemen, I just lost Lou. He's gone.
Wait a minute. Let me think. All right, let me see. Yeah, there's the big ball. There,
big
you got
ball.
The...
All right, well, I'll help sort
of... How about a tip of the day?
What are you, Stacy?
No, listen. When you're going on the Testron track thing...
Right.
I tell... This isn't the world's biggest secret, but go in the single rider's line. You'll walk on. I swear to you.
But what if unlike you, people actually come with friends and family? And that was mean and
well,
hurtful.
Usually,
I take that back.
Yeah, you can't wait to ditch me when I'm there, so...
We're celebrating our 10-year Timmyversary. Like, we've realized today, we've known each other for 10 years.
You know, and you still haven't ridden on Test Track with me.
Well, and I'm not going to because you just told me to do single rider.
Well, yeah, go get on your own line. No, but I was on it, like, the last time I was here, it was, you know, standby line, 90 minutes. The fast pass line was just as long. Single rider walked right on.
All right,
that's all I got.
What if I could tell you that there's something that you could do here in Epcot Center that would make Michael Eisner proud?
Climb Spaceship Earth.
Yes, I want you to scale the exterior of Spaceship Earth like the Epcot Daredevil Circus. No. What you should do, as long as we're staying in Interventions, is go to the character spot. And I say make Michael Eisner proud, because obviously we know the legend of how when Michael Eisner came to Epcot, the first thing he said was, where are all the characters? Right. They said, look, we want to make this park separate and distinct from what Magic Kingdom is. He's like, no, you do not keep our icon and our number one intellectual property out of this park. And he single-handedly brought characters in. But if you are looking at me characters, the character spot is such an overlooked thing that I think people don't pay attention to. You can always get in with a short wait. You can meet the Fab Five in there. And Mickey is a very popular guy, and that's a good place to go meet him.
I like Mickey.
Let's talk about character. Do you remember, speaking of characters in Epcot, do you remember it was a test period when Beaker and Dr. Bunsen Honeydew were walk-around/roll-around characters? When they were sort of testing out that remote technology, and they literally just came out from behind Journey to Imagination and were driving around and talking to guests in Interventions?
I'm aware of it.
Never saw it?
I never saw it.
It was brilliant and funny. Like you, brilliant and funny looking.
And you could meet the dream catcher finder guy.
Too soon. That's too soon.
It's way too soon.
Wait, I was on the Little Mermaid ride, and I saw a starfish that I think is Figment's doppelganger. He's purple, and he is...
Is that a hidden Figment? Is that what you're trying to...
A hidden Figment.
We got to get Steve Barrett on the horn and see if he can confirm
that. Is he hidden Figments?
I think that's a whole new book line.
He's disowned every hidden mind.
It's a whole new book series for Tim Foster.
If you're on Little Mermaid, in the middle scene, when they're the big dance scene, there's purple... Oh, no, it's at the end. There's purple starfish with orange spots and yellow eyes.
I wish people could see you. Leonard Bernstein conducting an orchestra.
I jumped up and down in my clamshell when I saw
it. It's Leopold Stokowski, ladies and gentlemen. Timmy Foster. So do you have anything else to you, or do you want me to help guide you? Let's give you the softball. I'm going to give you a softball. Do you know what Club Cool is right there?
Yeah. Okay. Club Cool.
When's the last time you've been there?
I go there all the time. when you see, I go there so often, I don't think of it as a place people don't go to. But I'm going to assume that people don't go there. So go to Club Cool. You get free, and I don't know, recently it is now, but they changed most of the flavors in there. Thankfully, my favorite Beverly is still there. And I still love to tell people that. But the one thing it's kind of cheap on my part. The one thing I really like about it is when it's hot and you're walking around, it's a great place to load up on soda for nothing.
Listen, well, you're actually
I'm holding a book. It says 102 ways to save money. And that's in there, right?
Of course it is.
Get free soda at Club Cool.
Absolutely. And it's a great place to cool off. But there's only this one downside. And you know
floors.
Me. Well, two downsides.
What?
Because you know me. I'm a positive person. I love this place. The only downside to Club Cool is that when you find one of those drinks that you love, like Inca Kola or whatever, you can't actually go to the register and buy yourself a six-pack of it.
Well, they should change that.
Could you? That would be awesome sauce.
Why
if you could buy this.
They should do that. When we're done, we'll go see that Eisner guy or whoever.
Maybe when we're done, why don't we go do like a little video of us tasting, since you haven't tasted the new sodas yet?
Yeah. I think I've tasted them. But let's pretend I didn't. We'll pretend I think Beverly is the most wonderful beverage concoction ever. I actually like Beverly.
And you're a strange, silly man.
And I'm not afraid to admit it.
As long as you own it,
and
that's
I would
fine.
Buy a
six pack of that if it were available,
would you?
And I would chug it down all night long.
Well, see, like people in Italy drink it all the time. I think they do it to get.
Well, you're Italian. You get it.
What was that? Look, you're Italian. You're supposed to drink Beverly and.
Well, you threw the I'm Italian out when I'm talking about World Showcase thing. So, you know, it comes into play here too. What was the name? Hey, let's remember this though. Going back, when Club Cool was the. Was formerly known as the.
Ooh, when it had the big scary like Yeti frozen guy outside, and the treads on the snow cat were in the shape of Coca-Cola bottle.
Yes, and what was it called?
Cold Coke. Oh, come on, man! I need another Frappuccino. Wait, it was called.
I'm saying this like I know.
Oh, wait a minute! Come on, how am I forgetting this, man? It's Coke Zone, the Coke Land, the Coke
spot or?
Cool Zone, Coke Cool, Club what Cool, Club Cool. Cool. Club, no, it's Club,
it's Club Cool
now.
What was the name of the caveman? Come on.
Saul.
Barney, close. wasn't it Refreshus Maximus?
Oh, look at you.
Look at me.
God, how come I can't remember this now?
I don't know, because I'm smarter than you.
Okay, smarty pants, what's next on your list?
That was it.
That's all
no.
you got.
Go to World Showcase Promenade and just keep walking. Now, here you go. When you're going to World Showcase, lest we forget, there's the main promenade to walk down. But there are also two side
paths.
Ice Station Cool! But there are two side paths to walk.
You got one going.
My God, you know the credibility of being like a trivia guy went completely out the window when I couldn't remember Ice Station Cool.
Yeah, there's two paths you can take to World Showcase besides the main thoroughfare, the one that goes by the Odyssey, formerly Odyssey Restaurant, and then my favorite, one of my favorite spots in Epcot, little traveled, but I find delightful, is the pathway that goes by the Imagination Pavilion side of Future World leading to World Showcase, with many a rose garden to be found along the way. And we probably talked about this because I think we did a top 10 places to literally stop and smell the roses, and this was one of them. So, yeah, that's it. Take the path less traveled.
When you start talking about the path less traveled, one of your favorite places, I'm like, he's going to La Cava de Tequila. Like,
no.
No.
You don't know where that is.
No.
All right,
Mexico.
I'm going to somewhat piggyback on this because I would actually love to do this with you, because every time I suggest doing a top 10 that somehow revolves around food, I want to do top 10 places to get breakfast, I want to do top 10 snacks, I want to do top 10 this.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't eat. We just ate and you are a creature of habit. You did not. But so I would like you, and I would like you, the listener, to go on a culinary adventure. Because I think, and I've said this for like a decade now, there's no better place or opportunity to do that than World Showcase, where you can go and sample little portions. You don't need to go overseas and worry about what you need. You can go and sample little portions. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to the UK.
Yes.
I want you to ask for Hope, because she was our server. And I want you to go try a Scotch egg.
Where in the UK?
It's in the Rose and Crown.
The Rose and Crown, okay.
Right. I want you to go to Japan, and I'm gonna let you try some sushi in the hopes that you don't finish it so I can eat it for you.
You'll have plenty.
You can go to France.
Yes.
And get a Grey Goose Citron Lemonade slushy or a Grand Marnier Orange slushy. What? Or you can go to the bakery and just eat your face off in the back. Maybe sample some wines and a little bit of chocolate in Italy. Dig this.
Okay.
Go to Morocco.
Yes.
Go into the back of the Tangerine Cafe.
Baklava.
Try some of the little snacks and the Moroccan mint tea. Or go to the restaurant Marrakesh and really just go to town.
Go to town. How about my favorite mango slushy tea? Why are you shaking your head?
Because every time we talk about World Showcase, all you talk about is the joy of tea in China. All
right. That's fine. Or caramel apple caramels in the Werther's store in Germany.
I think you are the only person ever on the planet to make a 3:30 reservation at Nine Dragons on a Monday afternoon.
Well, it worked, didn't it?
She was so confused. She's like, you made a 3:30 reservation? I know. We missed the lunch.
We actually did
what is a good tip. If you want to sort of beat the lunch rush and the dinner crowd, you go at 3:30 because we had a very romantic meal because we were the only people there.
And I will throw out the Nine Dragons restaurant is spectacular. Yet I do always find it's rather easy to get in comparatively to other restaurants.
I will tell you, and because I need to be fair, I haven't been to Nine Dragons in years.
Yes, you have.
Because the last time I went, I felt it was a little pedestrian. However, I had the dumplings in that sweet chili sauce appetizer. Sweet, fancy Moses, that was good.
I won't lie to you. He fell out of the chair. Literally. Children screamed.
No,
women cried.
No, the children, the best part was when a child did come in, he yelled across the restaurant to his mother, Mommy, make sure you go and use the girls' room, which we all thought was entertaining.
Yeah, that turned some heads, but yes.
Very delightful lunch.
Shay Shay. All right, so do you have anything else, or do you want me to keep sort of leading you around?
The friendship launches. Wow. Did I get that right?
You did.
There you go. Of all the attractions in Epcot... that's a quote-unquote attraction that most people don't think of as an attraction, it not being one per se. But I think just as enjoyable as many of the attractions in World Showcase. It's not just a way to get from one side of World Showcase to Laguna to the other. It's a great way to see the pavilions in a way that you don't normally get to see them from a distance on the waterline. Particularly the... American Adventure, which has a whole facade that you see from the other side, as you enter World Showcase, there's a whole facade you can see that's there, so there's something to see besides the back of the theater. But it's hard to appreciate from all the way across the lagoon, but when you're riding on the boats, you can kind of get an up-close view of that. And the other pavilions, and you get some great photo ops that you'll never get anywhere else.
What is the name of the ship docked at the back of the American Adventure?
A and B. Jose and Hose B.
What?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Of all
the photo ops that you say you could take, how do you not take a picture of that beautiful ship?
Because I'm hungry.
Cold Zone.
I was close. I knew that there was some sort of ice thing. What? All right, I'll do multiple choice.
Wait, what's this question again?
The name of the ship.
Name
docked
the ship.
On the World Showcase Lagoon at the back of the American Adventure.
Oh.
There's a ship up, Doctor?
There's a ship. Okay. Is it A, the Nantucket?
No.
B, the Columbia?
No.
Or C, the Golden Dream?
The C sounds stupid. So I'll go with C.
You sound stupid. It's the name of the song, you tool.
But it's A.
America, spread your golden wings.
Yeah, spread your golden wings, fly on high. Whatever. Yeah, I know. All right. It comes after the France tune on my CD. I know it well.
You're hurting my head. All right, I'm going to go back to future.
What's the answer?
Golden Dream.
Of course it is.
And you could actually see that if you get out your old videotape of some of the Disney sing-alongs. Oh. There's a Peter Pan and Captain Hook and a whole big pirate sing-along that they filmed on the Golden Dream in the back of the American Adventure Pavilion before they put the canopy on the theater itself.
Who's Peter Pan?
He's the guy in the tights.
You're not wearing
Be more specific. All right. All right. Was that yours? Are you done?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was epic. I'm going to come back into Future World, and I'm going to listen to the land we all love. Nature's Plan is going to shine above. Timmy Foster, have you ever taken the Behind the Seeds tour?
No, but I've wanted to, and I cannot wait for you to tell me all about it. But no, that's a good one, because that's even on my to-do list of things to do in Epcot that I haven't done yet.
We need to do these things together. We should do it together. Listen, it's only $20 for adults or $16 for
a
kid like you.
That's a bargain at any price.
It is, because it's an hour-long tour. You go to the fish farm and the greenhouses, and you see the plants and the fish and the insects and the alligators. There's real live alligators. I think it's a really good tour, again, for adults. Kids can come on this tour as well, too. If you are interested in gardening and hydroponics or just sort of how these things work, like I said, you get to go to the fish farm. I still think you get to do the ladybug release. And those giant fruit and vegetables that you see from around the world while you're on the cruise, you actually get to get up close to. You get to talk to cast members that work there. You need to learn more about some of the plant growing techniques. And you even get a little take-home souvenir for some ideas that you can bring to your own garden.
Let's go.
Dude, we're here. Let's do this, man.
I'm ready to go.
Can I say circle?
We missed it because they only run from 10:30 to 4:30.
Oh, come on.
Maybe if you got out of bed a little bit before 3.
Well, it was Christmas party time last night. Can we add Circle of Life as one of those things nobody ever thinks to do, but do it anyway?
Absolutely.
Okay.
The Circle of Life, an environmental fable, which replaced what attraction?
Kitchen Capers. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
If you say Symbiosis.
Symbiosis, a film of nature and harmony hosted by Simba of the Lion.
When is the last time you went to go see Circle of Life, an environmental fable?
Actually, last time I was here, I did make a point to go see it. Because, again, like the behind-the-scenes tour, this is one of the things I myself walked past so many times. And, you know, I'm going to go see it. I am guilty, too, of walking by a lot of things and not doing them. So I went, made a point of seeing it last time.
You're right. It's one of the things. It's a long time. It's cute. It's entertaining. I think it conveys the message very well. And there's carpet on the walls. So how can you go wrong?
That's pure Disney.
It's pure 80s, right.
Yeah. So.
That's it. That's all you got.
You kept pointing that in my face like I had more to talk about. It's a wonderful movie.
All right, so let's maybe talk about that then. Let's talk about maybe some of the attractions that you must do when you're here. And I know we've talked about this a little bit in the past, but if you had to say that there's one that's potentially overlooked, all right, and take things like Soarin' and Mission Space, but what's one of the ones that you think is a must-do attraction that maybe not everybody comes to see every time they come to Walt Disney World?
Well, I was going to say Maelstrom in the Norway movie, but...
You're just twisting the knife, aren't you?
I know. All right, we're staying in Epcot, right? Why are you shaking
your head? My eyes are rolling back in my head like I'm Linda Blair.
Your rules are so loose and Francie-free. I never know what's going on.
Fun and Francie-free.
That was a movie.
Yeah.
Even though it's changed from the original... I'll throw Grand Fiesta Tour there as an attraction that I find eternally delightful, but curiously underattended. Like, you can always walk on it. Nobody seems to know it's back there. I don't know why. I loved it when it was El Rio del Tiempo.
I for one, am fine and a fan of the Three Caballeros overlay. But yeah, it's I think it's a hidden. It doesn't seem like it should be, but I consider it a hidden gem tucked away back in the Mexico Pavilion, even though it's right out front in terms of here are the attractions in Epcot, and it's listed right there with along with the others. But it's not overly long. It's you know, but it's not an overly long wait either. So I recommend that. I think people overlook it on the way to. You know what I think? I think a lot of people overlooked it on the way to Maelstrom. Now with...
Wait. So you mean to tell me that there was a herd of people rushing at Rope Drop at 11 o'clock in the morning to go see Maelstrom?
Yeah.
What year was that? Was that 1988?
No, I think you had... I think Grand Fiesta Tour / El Rio del Tiempo and Reflections of China, which I'll throw in as my other one.
Nice twofer, by the way.
Yep. Which I think they both wonderful attractions, films in their own right, but I think for the most part functioned as placeholders for while you were waiting for your Maelstrom Fast Pass to come through. And now with Maelstrom going through its changes and its closed doors temporarily, I'm curious to see how those other attractions fare, that they get more people. And both are well worth visiting. And I do think a lot of people would make a beeline to Maelstrom, particularly those who were going to the World Showcase to ride the rides, of which there are only a couple, that being the big headliner one that always had a big wait, and maybe overlooked some of the other attractions that were nearby. So
I'm happy you mentioned China. I think it's,
We just ate in China.
We didn't eat in the temple, which
no,
was right.
You can't do that.
I think that the Circle Vision film is very poetic, right? I think it's very, very well done. I think it gives us a chance to see a country that most people probably never will, right? Because, you know, a lot of Westerners won't necessarily get there. I think there's a lot of places that... camera crews typically would not be allowed to go, so it's a great opportunity. But the one that instantly came to mind, and the words I use are beautiful and enchanting and, dare I say, breathtaking, is the popcorn cart. That I'm saying, oh. I cannot get over the smell of the popcorn wafting its way over here.
It's the breeze shifted, folks.
Oh,
sweet.
Jeez Louise. No, I'm going to say Impressions de France.
Oh, beautiful.
I love... Look, it hasn't really changed much since 1982.
But it
other
has.
Than, well, it's digital now.
And it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. And that score, which I have on my little device here, and I play my car, it makes me weep.
It's an Ocean's 11.
Oh, my God, Tim Foster, I just fell in love with you all over again. I can't believe you knew that.
Claire de Lune.
We've talked about this before, I know.
I don't know. And I funny story, I don't know if I told you, I told someone yesterday. Every time I call Disney to check on my whatever, and I'm on hold, that track is always playing. And I joked with the very nice cast member when she came off the phone that the France music is always playing when I call, which is fine because I love that.
It's like an 87-minute score, too.
Yeah, she goes, yeah, well, you know, we have a CD with that on it. And he goes, oh, I know, I've worn it out to death. Not that you can wear out a CD.
But you still buy CDs?
Are there those big black brown things with the hole in the middle?
Yeah,
that's what I get. But don't forget Canada. Oh, Canada.
Oh, with Martin Short.
The worst sneak preview, folks. There's going to be an article on Oh, Canada in the next issue of Celebrations. And the person who wrote it, I almost fired her over this, and I told her this.
Wow.
One of the scenes in there, being from Philadelphia, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, of course I do.
The winning home run hit by the Toronto Blue Jays off of the Philadelphia Phillies' own Mitch Williams, like a little knife through my heart every time I see it. And, of course, the person who wrote the article had to point that out in grand living color. So I get points get taken away from that film because of that moment for me.
If it wasn't such a far walk away, I would go just to watch you squirm. Yeah, just to see you squirm.
It's horrible. Do we show the New York Giants
winning the Super Bowl over the Patriots again?
At the ride, the Randall Cunningham experience, that one.
where they show the 98-yard punt at the end. I don't give you a hard time about
Cunningham
that.
Experience. I like that. Was actually the funniest thing you said all decade.
Jeez, thanks.
All right. Since I know you've got pretty much nothing left in
no,
your
I
tank.
I got a lot.
Do you? Oh, now you're hitting your stride.
I'm raring to
you're,
go. I got nothing.
What I'm going to say is that I think unlike the Magic Kingdom, certainly, even Hollywood Studios, you know, what Epcot, I think, really is about is really less about the attractions than it is about the entertainment. And I think that's one of the things that people really overlook unless they happen upon it when they come here. So, for example, we're sitting here in the, well, there's no more shadows because it's nighttime, but in the shadows of the Interventions Fountain, which I love. Speaking of Las Vegas and the Bellagio, the
yes.
guy who did this did
yes,
the same fountain.
Did, yes.
But little, I love the air battle sequence from Surprise in the Skies and the rescuers down under and the Rocketeer. Yeah, there's even some Yanni in there. But, like, the Jammeters. Like, I remember as a kid, the first time I saw the Jammeters, I'm like, what? Like, I didn't know. There was no internet back then, just so I didn't know what I was doing. The first time I hugged Duffy Bear was, it was a very moving moment. They should move it to Pittsburgh. I know you don't even know who Duffy the Bear is.
No, I'm trying to get that.
The British Revolution.
Yes.
Right?
My favorite.
The Paul McKenna Band.
The who?
Listen, go see the piano lady and tell her I said hello over at the Rose and Crown. And you know what, too? Going back to Michael Eisner, there are a ton of characters in Epcot. Alice, Mary Poppins, Winnie the Pooh, Princess Aurora, Aladdin, Jasmine, Mulan, Belle is out there. Belle is
Marie.
Out there. Belle is out there.
Belle.
What? There's nothing creepy about getting online three times in a row, just so you know.
You don't have to wear the Beast costume.
No, well, I know. It's more like an Ewok costume.
Well,
we were talking before. I think we both love the Taiko drummers. Matariza
yes.
in
yes.
Japan. Those are some of my favorites. The new flag show in Italy, the Spandaritori, the oh my God, I just made my grandparents.
Wow.
Right? I had
that
the first
Italian?
Part, right? No. I think, is Sergio still there, the juggler? The Chinese dancers, the Servant Amusant, the Savour Amusant.
The animated.
Savour Amusant.
I got one.
In French. What?
No, keep going.
The guy
like
who
him.
Steps on the chairs and gets
yeah,
with the
yeah,
whistle.
Yeah, I like him.
That guy. Favorite, all right, here you go. Favorite Epcot live entertainment. Go.
I got roped into the UK World Showcase players.
Too soon, man. They're not
no.
there. No, they're gone.
What?
They're gone.
They're what?
They're gone.
You didn't say.
We want people to come here and see things they can actually see,
well,
not things that aren't.
You didn't give me that.
Why don't you come over and ride Horizons while you're here, too?
Well, and what do you mean they're gone? They're not gone.
I think they kind of are.
Oh. Well, then...
they're not forgotten, and maybe they're coming back, but as of this moment... You like the belly dancer in Morocco.
Is she not there anymore?
The belly dancer? In Marrakesh? Sit down to eat, and she comes like... The belly dancer comes out, part of the show?
I thought that was the waiter. All right, how about Mayuki the Candy Lady?
Also gone.
No, come on. All right, give me. How about?
How about World of Motion? What?
How about?
Ken Jennings,
honey,
the astute computer
honey,
review.
Honey, I shrunk the audience.
Yeah.
Captain EO. That's.
The yeah. One. Go meet Dreamfinder too. While you're at it. Why don't you just keep driving the knife deeper into the heart of the listeners? You're such a mean. I thought you only did that to kids.
The Canada buzzsaw players of the North.
Yeah.
So I know they're there.
My question to you was your favorite bit of Epcot entertainment. And it doesn't have to be live if you want to say the fountains, because they are technically not living.
Illuminations.
Yeah?
Well, yeah. But that's not...
So let me ask you
cheating.
This. It's not cheating. The other stuff you've done is cheating. Is Illuminations due for, and would you be happy if it was updated and became something else?
You know what? Well, it depends on what they turned it into.
If they said to you, Tim,
is
trust us, tomorrow we're going to get rid of Illuminations. You cool with that?
No. But...
What if they promise you something epically spectacular?
Then I would anxiously look forward to it, but always have a soft spot in my heart for Illuminations.
But it is interesting because I was just talking about this, having this being the season of the holiday tag for Illuminations, which I'm anxious to see, which is spectacular. The only problem with it, and it's not really a problem, is once you see it, it's tough to go back to the regular version and be just as wow. Now, if they made the regular, everyday version of Illuminations as wow and jaw-dropping and holy smokes as the holiday tag is, and that was an everyday occurrence, I'd be totally fine with that. Now, if they totally changed it into some movie-driven presentation with ice-colored...
What if they did this? What if they said, Tim, we're going to bring out our own version of World of Color to the Illuminations Lagoon. I mean, to the World Showcase Lagoon instead of Illuminations.
I can't wait. Sign me up. Ready to see it.
Yeah, you ready to sign him up?
I'm ready to go.
Even with the sad Simba's dad dying thing, oh, man, that kills me every time in Disneyland. Like, come on, man. It's a downer, bro.
Well, we had to see The Lion King 3 times before we could get through that part. Yeah. And it wasn't me. You might think it was me that was having a problem with that. But I don't know. I'm ready. But change is scary. But it's all about progress, man. That's what the man said. Can I throw in this animated beast spirits of anime and Mario museum?
Yes, you can.
A wonderful place that nobody ever goes to. Nobody ever goes to. It's a great place for a nap, but it's a wonderful, wonderful exhibit.
A couple of months ago, I took my buddy Joel Calm. We wandered World Showcase.
It's not there anymore.
No, it's there. Sorry. And that's what we did. We sort of wandered into places like that and the soldier exhibit in China,
Yes. Which
are beautiful. I mean, it's like museum quality exhibits in there that, you're right, I think so many people run by on their way to the sake bar.
Well, I think they don't even know. And one I always
recommend. And I don't think they don't even know that the sake bar is back there, but I want to make sure.
If you're into that kind of thing, sure, I guess you know it's there. You seem to have nailed the tequila bar, the sake.
I'm not a big tequila bar guy. Oh, I take that back to lie. Because the tequila bar, I'm not like a tequila guy, but they have really yummy appetizers and stuff there. But if they put a couch and stretchy pants by the sake bar, I would just stay there. What?
Oh, my goodness.
That's not a visual you want.
You totally derailed me.
You were talking about...
I remember. The overlooked exhibits and galleries, because another one I always recommended was the Art of Morocco, or I don't know what the official name of it is. Although I'm glad to see, I think it is, I didn't notice when I passed it just today, but I know the last few times I've been there, it's been more well-marked than it had been in the past, so it's not just some door, which it used to be. And even I, for the longest time, didn't realize there was anything in there until you saw the little tiny sign on the door. But again, the gallery in Japan and all these places, lots of hidden treasures in pretty much every pavilion. Go get some ice, British iced tea.
And I think we've talked about that. I think we've talked about sort of our nooks and crannies and favorite places in the pavilions. Obviously, we mentioned the fact that Epcot, more than any other park, has such incredible seasonal offerings as well, too. Flower and Garden, which is like a mini Food and Wine. Food and Wine, which is like a maxi Food and Wine. And the Holidays, which is like Food and Wine with with a holiday flip. There's a holiday food during the holidays. There's special holiday... But even at Starbucks, I'm fumbling. I'm getting excited when I think about the food. So I want to know, not from you, but I'm pointing to you because you are representing the listener.
Yeah.
I want to know from you, the listener, what is your overlooked but must-do thing in Epcot and or your favorite bit of Epcot entertainment? Do me a favor. Tweet me at Lou Mangiello. Comment over on Facebook or come to the show notes at wdwradio.com. Click on the podcast link. Go to this week's episode. Go down to the bottom of the show notes. Leave a comment there. I know little Timmy Foster and I will be looking at it and keeping the conversation going there. And then, as soon as you're done with that, right, if you want some more Disney magic, you want it delivered right to your door, the mailman will bring it to your door every other month, or the little spaceman will deliver it to your mobile device. Go to celebrationspress.com. What else do you want to say?
We are...
That's enough. All right.
No.
Oh, there's more.
There's this cool book I'm holding. Christmas Memories Special Edition 2.
Oh, is that a thing?
Yes, our second Christmas book.
I'm not kidding. I didn't even get a copy. It's the perfect Christmas gift.
It's on its way from the printers.
Is it on a slow boat from the China Pavilion?
It's on a slow boat from the Wisconsin Pavilion.
Oh, look at you printing in the USA. Love it.
Good for us. No, but for those who don't know, this is our second hardcover coffee table book celebrating the holidays at Walt Disney World. This edition focuses on Magic Kingdom parades. Curious that we talked about it. The World Showcase Storytellers have a huge section on that. So if you go to the website, you can get your order now. We had a pre-sale special going. We're keeping it going all through the holidays.
Oh, look at you.
So you can pick up a copy there, and we're all very excited about
it. I'm going to order like a case, and by order a case, I mean I expect a really huge discount because I want to give these out as Christmas presents because I still get people talking to me about the one from X number of years ago.
There you go. Yeah, X, not 1 year ago. A lot of people think it was last year's. Yeah. We skipped a year. We know.
Time flies, man. Celebrations has just celebrated its 5-year anniversary.
Six?
What?
Six? Yeah.
I remember the day that you and I sat in the lobby of the Sheraton Hotel in Whateverville, Pennsylvania,
Sesame Place.
And yeah, we were saying today it's been.
I saw that picture.
We had a picture taken. I saw that picture the other day.
I still have it.
Good Lord, have I gotten older?
Well, that's what happened. Look. Dude, it's been 10 years. Yeah. It's been 10 years of Timmy Goodness. Top 10 memories of the past 10 years with Tim Foster.
All right, 10.
No, I don't mean right now. Save this for.
Top 10 train wrecks. Top 10 places I need to go. Like the Magic Kingdom that I've never been before.
Wait. What we really should ask the listeners, are their top 10s?
You know they're all out there screaming. What? There's been more than. There's more than these.
I will tell. I know what one of them is. I know what still remains to this day a popular top 10.
What?
Top 10 smells.
Oh, I see that. Yeah, I remember that.
The musty water smell. I'm telling you, it's a thing.
The only thing I remember we interpreted that totally differently.
And you wouldn't be the first time, and certainly wasn't the last.
I will give you your kudos. You hit the home runs on that one, because I was going, like, I remember, like, you know, the cinnamon smell and what's that, Mickey? The PhilharMagic and, you know, the evergreens and Soarin'. And you're going, like, you know, musty smell and pirates and the cat urine smell and the monorail and all this. and all those things. And I realized afterwards, yeah, that's probably kind of what we should have. That's what I was going for. See, now I try to go for the not-so-obvious ones.
Listen, and you know what? A bunt is just as good as a hit.
And that's why you stare at me. You're going with what?
Well, I was not so impressed at how you did this with no notes in front of me today.
Wasn't that good?
Yeah, you caught up eventually. Just as we were finishing up, you really started to hit your stride.
You
so
do.
Good
now,
for
can
you.
I tell people you were on your phone Googling the whole time? While
I wasn't Googling. I had notes. Look, they're notes. I live on Evernote, okay. Man. I prepared. You did not have notes.
Because you sprung this on
you were your head was swiveling like Linda Blair in The Exorcist, man.
I was looking for something. There's this mouse gear store. Can I talk about that? No, there's trampolines above my head. Can I talk about that? I'm looking. Am I right now, Lou Mangiello? Am I staring at the
Siemens Lounge? Yes, the big golf balls.
Yeah. No, that's the lounge in there, right? Go there, people.
You can't go there.
But go there anyway.
Anyway. All right, believe it or not, I'm going to have you back on the show. I don't know why, but we're going to have you back on again because I couldn't do top tens without. I mean, I could, and I'm going to have to do a top 10 without you when it comes to food because all you're going to talk about is the fried rice in China. Well, I'm sorry, the Kung Pao chicken.
Yeah, but you can get that 5 different ways. So I'm covered. Chicken, shrimp, spicy mild. I'm good.
You're such a wide spectrum of culinary delights.
Yeah, it's not called World Showcase for nothing.
Timmy Foster, ladies and gentlemen, give it up. Everybody in Future World is doing golf claps as we speak. Do you think the guy wearing the sombrero by the popcorn cart is going to regret that when he gets home?
For real?
It's time for our Walt Disney World Trivia Question of the Week, where I invite you to test your knowledge of Walt Disney World history or see how well you pay attention to the details in what you see and, like this week, in what you hear. You can then enter via email for a chance to win a Disney prize package. And before we get to this week's question, let's go back, review last week's, and select our winner. So last week was about what you hear in the queues or the attractions in Walt Disney World. And the quote that I gave you was, okay, but can we stop at a mini mart or something and get some snacks? And I asked you to identify where in Walt Disney World you could hear that. Again, thanks to the hundreds of you that entered. You obviously knew we're talking about Epcot Center this week, so it's appropriate that that came from Ellen, by Ellen, at Ellen's Energy Adventure. I randomly selected one winner from all the correct email entries, and you are playing for a prize package that includes all six of my virtual audio walking tours of the park, which you can find over at www.radio.com or iTunes, a copy of my 102 Ways to Save Money for an At Walt Disney World book, and a very special, exclusive, limited edition D23 Destination D Magic Band. And our winner, randomly selected from last week's entries, is Jerry E. So, Jerry, congratulations. Please send me your address. I'll get your package out to you right away. If you played last week and didn't win, that's okay, because here's your next chance to enter in this week's Walt Disney World Trivia Challenge. So I'm going to stay in Epcot Center this week because I love that park and I love some of the classic attractions. For example, Spaceship Earth. And throughout the attraction, as you pass through the history of communication, on the right-hand side of your time vehicle, right after you pass the telegraph scene, you're going to see a cinema. And your question this week is this. Tell me, what athlete is featured in the newsreel celebrating a milestone athletic achievement? All I need is his or her name. You don't even need to tell me what the achievement really is. You have until Sunday, December 14th at 11:59 p.m. to email your answer to contest@wdwradio.com. Again, you're playing for all the audio tours, a copy of my 102 Ways to Save Money for an At Walt Disney World book, which you can get on Amazon.com, by the way, and a mystery gift for the holidays. So good luck and have fun. That's going to do it for this week's show. Thanks so much for taking the time to tune in this and every week. I also want to say thanks to everybody who's rated and reviewed my new 102 Ways to Save Money for an At Walt Disney World book. By the way, makes a great holiday gift, including Lindsay Sullivan and Dana Malloy. You can find out more and order the book by visiting Disney102.com. Also, don't forget that in addition to the podcast, which you can find and subscribe to over in iTunes, please come by every Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern for WDW Radio Live. It's a live, interactive video broadcast and chat where we spend some time chatting with you about this week's Walt Disney World news. Then stay, ask me anything in the lightning round, and just chat with others in the chat room. Again, that's every Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern at WDWRadioLive.com. Visit the website at WDWRadio.com for our blog, videos, newsletter, mobile app, community, and lots more. You can follow me over on Twitter. I'm at Lou Mangiello. Facebook.com/Lou Mangiello is my personal profile. You can follow me there or visit the WDW Radio Facebook page at Facebook.com/WDW Radio. If you have a question you want answered on the air, you can email me, Lou@WDWRadio.com, or call the voicemail 407-900-9391, or just click the Leave Lou a Voicemail button in the show notes or on the right-hand side of the page at WDWRadio.com. As much as I love connecting with you online, nothing beats a handshake and a hug, which is why I do Meet of the Month every month in Walt Disney World. Our next one and last one of the year is going to be Saturday, December 20th at the Contempo Cafe at Disney's Contemporary Resort. We'll meet there at 11 a.m. Anyone and everyone is invited, so come by yourself, bring the family, say hi, grab something to eat, whatever it may be. We'd love to see you and celebrate the holidays with you before the end of the year. You can find out more by visiting the events page at WDWRadio.com or our Facebook page at Facebook.com/WDWRadio. I have more events planned, lots of things planned for 2015, including a surprise that I'm planning on launching right after the first of the year. We'll also have everything from our WDW Radio 8-year anniversary celebration, D23 Expo, and a few other things that I'm working on. Also, visit loumongello.com. You can find out where I'll be speaking at other sort of non-Disney things, entrepreneurship, podcasting, new and social media. And if you want to book me to speak at your conference, to your business, or at your school, again, visit loumongello.com. Big thanks, as always, to MouseFan Travel. They are my official and recommended travel provider. It's who I've been using for almost 10 years now. Because of the level of service they give, I know that I'm going to get the best price, all available discounts. More importantly, it's the level of service that they give that really is a distinction at no additional cost to you. You can visit them at mousefantravel.com. And like Tim said, get Celebrations Press magazine delivered to you every other month by visiting celebrationspress.com. And as always, my friends, and you are my friends, whether we have met yet or not, I promise you. And all I ask is that if you like the show, please help spread the word. Let others know about it. Let your friends know. Tweet out that you're listening. Share links over on Facebook. Ask and answer me questions on Twitter or Instagram or Pinterest. And please, most importantly, please go and rate and review the show over in iTunes. We have almost 900 reviews. Would love to get 1,000 five-star reviews. I want to thank Pegleg Patrick, all the way from the UK, Disney fan, 1974, son of Zod. Love it. Brett Bolden, Phil W. 1945, Aussie Disney fan, obviously from Australia, and With Glowing Hearts from Canada for leaving your most recent reviews over on iTunes. And to make it easy, if you go to wdwradio.com/review, that'll take you right over to iTunes. We can leave a review there. And finally, and most importantly, I am more grateful to you than ever for allowing me to do what I do each and every day and share it with you. And knowing that that leap of faith that I took so long ago was so, so very worth it. And I want you to do the same thing and understand that any type of progress, right, is going to involve some type of risk. So you can't steal second base with your foot sort of locked on first. So take that step, however small it may be, and always have faith and keep moving forward. I hope you have a fantastic week this week. So until next time, see ya.
Lou, this Victor giving you a call from the Philadelphia area. I had a long-time listener to your podcast. It's great. I got a short little morning commute to the city, about 25 minutes, 30 minutes, you know, one way, and it helps time pass. Anyways, to the point, my, you know, this is a response going for the question of what park is best when you're going solo. What I would do, I would go to Magic Kingdom. I know you're going alone, you know, I know the kid's going alone, so, you know, you'd want to have your phone on you, but what I'm trying to get at, too, is disregard everything. Shut the phone off, put it in your pocket, keep it on maybe in case your parents call you, I don't want anyone going crazy, but don't touch the phone, don't take pictures, be by yourself, no one's going to be there to call your name, to ask you questions, to tell you, hey, we're going here, let's go here, we're going to go eat here, meet us here, hey, we're going to go to this ride, come meet us. Go and walk. Take it all in. Check out, like, you know, I agree with Lou, check out the nooks and crannies. Be a part of it. Sit down, smell it, walk around, feel it, you know. This is your time to be there with yourself, and I'm telling you right now, when you're not there taking pictures or answering people's questions or following around with people and doing this, that's when you're going to take it in the most. You know what I mean? And I think it's an amazing thing that you're going to do that. And my wife and I go every year. It's been about 7 consecutive years now. So it's just a great time. And, you know, when the kids come in the future here, God willing, that's where we'll bring them as well. So, but nonetheless, take it all in, buddy. Shut the phone off or keep it in your pocket and just take it all in and fly solo, my man. Be safe. Lou, it's always a pleasure, buddy. Take it easy.
Hi, Lou. My name is Casey. I am a Disney cast member currently in the process of relocating from frigid Minnesota to the lovely sunny Florida. I am so excited. I was calling to give my 2 cents regarding your recent episode in which Ben from Canada asked which park would be the best to explore, and I have to go with you guys and say Magic Kingdom. I learned so much walking up and down Main Street and looking at each of the windows, taking your book, and walking around and seeing all the things that I had never even known existed. Also, maybe taking a Hidden Mickey book and spotting the Hidden Mickeys. Those are all wonderful things to do on your own. Sometimes, you know, it can be hard to go with a big group because everyone wants to go here and there and everywhere. And I have to say that I spent an entire day open to close Magic Kingdom by myself, and it was honestly the most memorable experience. So thank you guys so much for doing the show. You and Becky are always doing a wonderful job. Again, I'm relocating from frigid Minnesota down to Florida in less than a month, and I cannot wait to make Walt Disney World my home again. So again, thank you guys for so much, all that you do, and have a magical day.
Hello, Lou Mangello, WDW Radio Group, WDW Box People, and the WDW Radio Disney Alaska Cruisers. We are now under 175 days to our Disney Wonder Alaska Cruise. I am extremely excited about this upcoming trip. We are going to have a blast. I'm getting ready to hopefully have a slightly white Christmas, not a fully white Christmas. We've had enough snow here in Buffalo, but we're supposed to get another foot maybe the next couple days. We'll see if it lingers around for the next couple weeks for Christmas, which would be perfect. Have a magical, wonderful week, and I will talk to you real soon. Bye! You go.